So continuing on our study of the revelation of Jesus Christ, we're going to move into chapter 11 today. And if somebody would like to read chapter 11, verse 1. Chapter 11, verse 1.
Then there was given me a measuring rod like a staff, and someone said, "Get up and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship in it."
Okay, so John was told to measure three things. There is in some description, there's the temple, the altar, and the saints. Okay, so he's measuring that in this vision here. The question would be, what is the reason to measure something? What's the reason to measure something? And what does it mean? What does John mean by, John measuring the temple, the altar, and the saints? What is the meaning? Okay, what is he measuring? Let's turn back to Ezekiel chapter 22. And we're going to get a little insight from some Old Testament scriptures today. Ezekiel 22. Now, at this time, obviously, Israel and Judah have been led captive. Ezekiel was part of those who were taken back to Babylon. And Ezekiel is prophesying here and warning the people of Israel that are in Babylon of things, and also prophesying about stuff yet to come. So in Ezekiel 22, verse 26, if somebody would like to read that, please.
"Your priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. They have made no distinction between the holy and the profane, and they have not taught the difference between the unclean and the clean. They hide their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them."
Okay, so the talking about Israel here, their God is talking about them, the priests or the post captivity priests, the ones who led them into that way, and the people in general. And he says that they make no distinction between holy and profane or evil. Okay, it's muddled. There's no difference between them in their eyes. Okay, they don't separate it out. Go ahead a little further to Ezekiel chapter 40. Ezekiel chapter 40. Someone like to read verse 1 through 5 of Ezekiel chapter 40, please.
"In the 25th year of our exile, at the beginning of the year, on the 10th of the month, in the 14th year after the city was taken, on that same day the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me there. In the visions of God, he brought me into the land of Israel and set me on a very high mountain. And on it to the south there was a structure like a city. So he brought me there, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of bronze, with a line of flax and a measuring rod in his hand. And he was standing in the gateway. The man said to me, 'Son of man, see with your eyes, hear with your ears, and give attention to all that I am going to show you. You have been brought here in order to show it to you, declare to the house of Israel all that you see. And behold, there was a wall on the outside of the temple all around, and in the man's hand was a measuring rod of 6 cubits, each of which was a cubit and a hand breadth. So he measured the thickness of the wall, 1 rod, and the height, 1 rod.
Okay, so on the anniversary of the destruction of the physical temple, because it's when the city was taken, it was the beginning of the year, in the 14th year after the city was taken. Okay, so you had your initial exile, then you had the rebellion after that, where Nebuchadnezzar comes back and the city was taken. When the city was taken, if you go back and look in Chronicles and Kings, the city was taken, the temple was destroyed, and Nebuchadnezzar took all the gold and all the dishes and the utensils from the temple of God back to Babylon. Okay, so on the destruction of the temple on the anniversary, Ezekiel sees a man. Now, I get this description that this man is most likely talking about Jesus here, okay? Because the man who has the rod has an appearance of bronze, okay? And we talked about Jesus has an appearance as well in on his legs and stuff, that glow, that brightness there. But he is measuring the temple, okay? So this man is measuring the temple. He has the rod, and it's not necessarily important right now, anyway, that we know what's the rod, what's this here, why is he measuring this, and we know he's measuring, he is setting, like measuring the temple. Go ahead now again to chapter 42. Now, if we continue to read through that, we won't read it all for the sake of time, but 42, he measures the walls, the thickness of the walls, the gates, and he measures the stairways and the pillars and the inner temple and so on. And then we get to chapter 42, verse 20. Someone like to read that, please.
He measured it on the four sides. It had a wall around. It had a wall all around, the length 500 and width 500 to divide between the holy and the profane.
Okay, so we know back from chapter 22 that the priests of Israel made no distinction between the holy and the profane in the physical temple and the physical land. We see this vision that Ezekiel has here on the anniversary of the destruction of the physical temple, where this man with the measuring rod is measuring the temple, and he measures the thickness of the walls, the height of the walls, he measures the walls around the temple, and then he says in verse 20 here of chapter 42, to divide between the holy and the profane. So the purpose of measuring there is dividing between the holy and the profane, something that the priest didn't do, spiritually speaking, in the physical temple. This one is doing, this man is doing in this vision with showing Ezekiel that he is dividing, he is measuring for the purpose of dividing between the holy and the profane. Turn ahead a couple chapters here. Chapter 44 of Ezekiel. Somebody like to read verse 23, please.
Moreover, they teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean.
Okay, so we see after that, we see chapter 22, there was no distinction made between the holy and profane. In the vision in Ezekiel 40, we see that this man measures the temple. In chapter 42, we see he measures for the purpose of dividing and making a distinction between the holy and the profane. We see in chapter 44 that the priest, moreover, these priests in this vision that Ezekiel's having, which is a foreshadow of the church here, moreover, they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between unclean and clean. Okay, so that's what they're to teach between. They didn't teach it before. We see the vision here of Jesus measuring out or setting aside, as we're going to get into that, some of that here in a second. He's dividing, he's making a distinction between what is holy and what is profane. And we see that that is what the priests here in the vision, which are the New Testament priests, are teaching to show the difference between and make distinction between the holy and the profane. So measuring something can show ownership, but it also can set apart for something. Set apart for a better purpose. To separate from something for a specific purpose. And we do this all the time with things we don't even think about. You know, we do it with agriculture things, cattle or wheat or whatever. We separate certain things for certain purposes, okay? And we set it apart for a specific thing. You know, this type of cattle or this whatever is sufficient enough to do this. This one is not good enough or whatever. And so when we measure things, and people do that all times in their jobs as well, too, but you're separating something. So in the case of Ezekiel or John, as we're talking in Revelation 11, when he is measuring something, when you measure it, you set it apart. Maybe we used the example of a building before. You know, you set, you measure out, and you measure out a plot, set the foundation. You're setting apart that area for the purpose of building something there, whether it's a house, whether it's a some sort of building, apartment complex, whatever it is. You're measuring out a certain spot to do that. You can even do that if it's not necessarily a building. Maybe it's a garden. Maybe it's a patio or whatever. I mean, there's things we always do. We measure out a certain thing to set it aside for this purpose, for a specific purpose greater than the other spot. Okay? So when we see John measuring the temple, the altar, and the saints, and we look at Ezekiel's example where he is showing that there is that they didn't make no distinction. The priest had made no distinction between evil and good. Ezekiel 40, he has a vision of the man measuring and separating out. We see in verse 40, chapter 42, that he measures to separate, in order to separate between holy and good, which is telling us that that's what he's doing there by measuring. He's separating the holy from the profane. And the priests in this temple are to teach that same thing. So it's ownership and it's setting apart for the purpose of something. Any questions on that? We're going to continue on some of that thought, but any questions on that before we move on? Okay, so then we back ask the question again then. So what is John measuring? And another question would be, where is John measuring? And then why is John measuring? Okay, because we're going to see that back. If we turn back to chapter 11 of Revelation. And actually, don't even go there. Stop in Ephesians on the way there. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Somebody like to read verse 19 through 22, please.
Cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit.
Okay, so we see that the church here is being built together for a spiritual house, for a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Yeah, we're fellow citizens of God's household, built upon a foundation. If you build a foundation, you have to set something apart. Okay, and then whatever you put on that is set apart for that purpose as well. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's turn over there. 1 Peter chapter 2. Someone would like to read 4 and 5, please.
In coming to him as a living stone, which has been rejected by man, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptance to God through Jesus Christ.
Okay, so the church is the spiritual house. We're being built up as a spiritual house. Okay, so if you think of the stones of the physical temple when you had your foundation, you had certain stones separate. So those stones then are separate from the other stones that are still out wherever they got their stones from to build the temple. Yeah, they're separate. They're set apart for a purpose. Okay, so we have John measuring the temple and Ezekiel measuring the temple, and we understand that the church is being built into the temple. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Someone like to read verse 16 through 18, please.
We are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. And I will be a a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty.
Okay, so you see here that it says that Paul makes a blank statement here. We are the temple of the living God. Okay, so I don't think that's a problem for us to understand. You know, we kind of agree on that. The temple, the church is a temple of God. Notice a couple of things he says there in verse 17. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. Remember what it says back in Ezekiel, that the Old Testament priests, and the reason that they're in the situation that the Israelites were in then in captivity was because they didn't make no distinction between the holy and the profane, or the good and the evil. Then you have the vision of him measuring, and he's setting apart something. He's measuring the temple. And then you see that He's setting it apart for the purpose to make a distinction between holy and profane. And then the priests of that temple are supposed to teach to make the distinction between holy and profane. And you're measuring, you're setting something apart or setting them out. And Paul says here, as we also said in Ephesians, and Peter said in 1 Peter, that we are the temple of God. We are the spiritual house of God. We are set apart for something. And he says, therefore, come out from their midst and be separate. So you're separating the holy from the profane. Turn back to Revelation chapter 11. So we know that the temple then, even though people are going to jump to that being the temple something in the future, the temple that's separate points to the church being separate from the people, from the world. In verse 1 there, as pointed out again, John measures the temple and the altar. Measures the temple and the altar. So what is John measuring was the temple. Where is John measuring? And the altar is giving us a clue here. Turn back to Revelation chapter 4. Some would like to read 1 through 11 of Revelation chapter 4, please.
After these things, I looked and behold, the door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, the throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardius in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne, like an emerald in appearance. And around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the throne 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. And from the throne proceed flashes of lightning and sound and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass, like crystal, and in the center and around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. And the first creature was like a lion, and the second creature like a calf, and the third creature had a face like that of a man, and the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God the Almighty, who was and who is to come. And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy art thou, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou didst create all things, and because of thy will they existed and were created.
Okay, so we went back in chapter 4 when we studied in that. And obviously we see that the throne is in heaven, but we see that the 24 elders represent the saints, okay? Represent those who are brought in from the old covenant and those who are established in the new covenant, okay? 12 tribes, 12 apostles. So you see that the throne is in heaven and the saints are surrounding that. Turn ahead to chapter 8 of Revelation. chapter 8. Someone would like to read verse 3 and 4, please.
Another angel came and stood at the altar holding a golden censer, and much incense was given to him, so that that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand.
So we see that if God's throne is in heaven, and God obviously is sitting on the throne, and God is in heaven, we see that this altar is also before the throne of God. Now, so when John is writing the book, when you talk about the temple of God, the background the people would have had would be thinking about the church, because that's the temple of God. And they're thinking of the altar. They're thinking of the altar that's before God with the understanding that they had. And we've talked about that when we went over that, about where that altar is. And it's in the Holy of Holies. We have our petitions are before God. We have access to God. That is what this picture is showing us here. So we see he measures the altar, or he measures the temple and the altar as well. And then we measure those who worship in it, but we'll get to that there. He measures the temple and the altar, and both the altar is in heaven. The altar that he would be measuring, obviously, I mean, John has a vision here, so it's not out of the question for the altar to be before the throne, because he just had, in chapter 4, he saw the vision of the altar of him on the throne, and he saw, chapter 8, he saw the altar that was before the throne. So it wouldn't be that far of a grasp to think when we get to chapter 11 that John, when he's measuring, he's setting apart, setting aside, making separate, making a distinction between holy and profane, just like Ezekiel is doing, and Ezekiel, the guy is doing Ezekiel's book, which the physical priest did not do. And the priest of the after the one who measured that in Ezekiel, the priest, we're going to teach people to make a distinction between the holy and the profane. And you see that he's measuring the temples. We know the temple is the church. Where is he measuring? He's measuring the temple that dwells in heaven. It's not the one that's in a vision that's dwelling on a physical land. In Ephesians chapter 2, turn over there again. Prior to what we read towards the end of the chapter there, where it talks about us being a temple of God or a dwelling of God in the Spirit. See, in verses 4 through 6, if somebody would like to read that, of Ephesians chapter 2.
But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved.
Yes.
And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Okay, so when everybody's faith only is love for the phrase of by grace you've been saved, and there are a lot of premillennialists in that, so let's use that by grace you've been saved in connection with by grace you've been saved, which is a true statement. We have been raised up and seated with Christ in the heavenly places. We have been separated. We've been measured, if you will. We've been set apart for something. Okay, the word saint is, you know, or it means holy, or someone set apart. Go to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. When Jesus is before Pilate, and he is talking about the authority that he has, and Pilate is talking about how he could deliver them, he has the authority to do he's before Pilate, he has authority to do with him, and he could release him and such. But Jesus answers, it says in verse 36. If somebody would like to read verse 36 of John chapter 18, please.
Of this world, then my servants would be fighting that I might not be delivered up to the Jews, but as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm.
So Jesus' kingdom, or the kingdom, is not of the realm, not of this realm. So the kingdom would be in the heavenly realm or the spiritual realm, which is where John would see the throne being. If a king's throne is where his kingdom is, it would be in the heavenly realm. So John is seeing the throne. He sees the temple, which is the church. He sees the altar, which is before the throne, being in heaven. And we know the kingdom is in heaven. We know we've been raised up and seated with Christ in heavenly places when we were saved, when we were immersed into Christ. So we are set apart as the temple and the kingdom in the heavenly realm. So you have, what is John measuring? Is the temple. Why is John or where is John measuring? Or the temple or the church? Where is John measuring? He is measuring heaven. So measuring is setting that apart. We are set apart in the heavenly realm for the purpose of being holy and making a distinction between holy and profane. So then the question would be, is why is John measuring? Obviously, we had half the question there. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 11. Half the question answered there, that he sets us apart for a purpose. But when you set someone apart for a purpose, or something apart for a purpose, you're also making a statement about the things that were not set apart for the purpose. So verse 2, someone would like to read that, please, of Revelation chapter 11.
And leave off the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the nations, and they will tread underfoot the holy city for 42 months.
Okay, so John was told not to measure the court, or the outer court. Court that's outside the temple, don't measure it. Don't set it apart. If measuring is showing ownership, measuring would be showing God's ownership if it's done by one of God's servants there, God's ownership of this thing, and setting it apart for a specific purpose. We, as a temple of God, are set apart for a specific purpose. And so John is told not to measure the outside of the temple, or the court that's outside. So if measuring means set apart, not measuring means that you're not set apart. I mean, it's kind of an obvious statement. But if you measure something, you're not just making a statement about something that you measured or something that you set apart. You're making a statement between stuff that you didn't set apart. You know, we do that same thing with cattle or wheat or whatever. Or land for a building. Okay, you don't build it here because that ground is not good enough to put a building on. You build it here because that foundation, that ground, is going to be better. It's not sand. It's just more of a solid ground and dirt, not sand, where sand is not a sufficient foundation. It's set apart, separate, not worthy for it. So the outer court, it says there, has been given to the nations. Okay, in verse 2. The outer court has been given to the nations, and the holy city here would refer to the physical Jerusalem. And we'll tell you why in a second. But the physical Jerusalem in this case here is symbolizing something spiritual. Okay. Now, I think at this time, Jerusalem would have been probably destroyed as a sufficient, the Jewish religion would have been. The destruction of 70 would have happened. But as far as the city there, you know, that still is that reference there, but the Jewish influence is gone. So that he says, he refers to the holy city here, not because Jerusalem, physical Jerusalem, was holy, but it was at one time, but he's referring to it so we get the picture here, because it's symbolizing something spiritual, a deeper meaning. Let's turn to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. So in our minds here, those who are set apart are the temple of God, which is the church. We are set apart as a body, as the church, to be separate from the world and to make a distinction between holy and profane, or for ourselves, but also be a distinction between holy and profane, be holy and not profane, because the world is going to be evil. But in Matthew 13 here, verse 24 through 30, if somebody would like to read that, please.
Man who While his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. But when the wheat sprouted more grain, then the tares became evident also. The slaves of the landowner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?" And he said to them, "An enemy has done this." The slaves said to him, "Do you want us to go and gather them up?" But he said, "No, for while you are gathering up the tares, you may uproot the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. And in that time, in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, 'First gather up the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn.'"
Okay, so we have the parable. Now let's go to verse 36 through 43. And someone like to read that, please.
Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field." And he said, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. And the tares are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. So just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear."
Okay, and before we talk about this and sum this up, let's go to verse 47 of Matthew 13, 47, verse through 50. If someone would like to read that as well, please.
"Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea and gathering fish of every kind. And when it was filled, they drew it up on the beach, and they sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but the bad they threw away. So it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come forth, take out the wicked from among the righteous, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth."
Okay, so we see these two parables here. Notice that the tares were among the wheat. The tares weren't outside the wheat. Notice it says in verse 41, it says, "The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all of the stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness." Notice in the parable of the dragnet there is that they gather, the kingdom of heaven is like the dragnet. So the dragnet would be like the kingdom. And it says there then that they gather every kind and was filled. But then it says they threw away the bad, and it says, "So it will be that they will take the wicked from among the righteous," in verse 49. Okay, so what he's giving us here is that this is not those who are pagans. This isn't those who are pagans that he is talking about. They're already separate. Now, I understand that Jesus separates the sheep from the goats and stuff in the judgment day and stuff, but in this specific case is what he's talking about here, when he's gathering out of the kingdom the stumbling blocks. He's gathering out of the dragnet the bad fish, separating the wicked from the righteous. They're taking the wicked from the righteous and taking them out. The wicked were amongst the righteous, and it's not just talking about someone, well, they're in the world, we're in the world, and they're here. No, he's talking about gathering. He uses the word specifically there. He is gathering it out of his kingdom. If the kingdom is the church, then that means there are stumbling blocks in the church. Now, granted, I mean, those who are wicked, I mean, they're amongst the church, if they're, you know, but they're not spiritually there. And we obviously can't tell that difference, make that distinction. God knows that distinction. That's why he's doing that. Okay, so when we see this here then, it says talking about those who were Christians, but they loved the world and fell away. So when we go back to Revelation chapter 11, verse 2, just to sum that up there, we see that John measured the temple, the altar, and the things in it, and those who worship in the temple, but he leaves out the courtyard and the court and the city of Jerusalem. If you notice that the courtyard and the city of Jerusalem are about as close to the temple as you can get without actually being in the temple. Okay, they are not set apart like the temple of God. And this symbol then is that it's those who, like in the parables that we looked at, those who were amongst the kingdom aren't really of the kingdom, but they were amongst the kingdom. They look like something similar. They look good for time being, but then they're separate. Because even though they're still amongst the kingdom, it looks close. It's part of the same thing until you get down to the real commitment or not. So you have those who are in the temple of God, and those who worship in it, and the altar and such. That's the church and those who are committed to God. And the outside has been given to the nations to tread underfoot, to destroy. The city and the court has been given to the nations. Has been given to the world, he says. Something is so close to the temple, but still not a part of it, still not set apart, because they weren't measured. They weren't set apart. They weren't set apart to discern between holy and profane. They weren't set apart to be holy and not profane because of their choice, obviously. But there is almost like one foot in, one foot out. If you can even have one foot in. So you're close to the temple, but you're not. You're close to the kingdom, but it's not. And so when he's saying that he sets apart the temple and the altar and those who worship in it, that is, he is setting apart the church. He is showing the church being set apart here. But he's showing those who are not committed, even though they might look that, which John dealt with that in his day too, a lot. His epistles talk about that. He is talking about that there as those who are close to that, they're not set apart, and they'll be destroyed. That's a warning for us too, but that's what he is talking about there when he's saying the temple of God is set apart, which is the church, and those who are close to the temple are going to be destroyed. If you're not committed, you're going to be destroyed. Anybody else? Anybody have any comments or questions on that?
Just to add to the topic there of the parable of the wheat and the tares. Mm-hmm. I think some people have the understanding that like the tares are like weeds or noticeably don't belong. And what a tare is something that resembles the real thing. Mm-hmm. And like one example that I've seen the most clear in my life is oats. Because like a field of oats, whether you have your regular oats or your wild oats, mm-hmm. just looking across the field, you absolutely can't tell them apart. Right. I mean, they just look identical. And the only time you can see the difference and the only time you can separate them is harvest time. Because yeah. then when the seeds are revealed, you have your kind of your gold or, amber colored oats, and then the wild oats are like a brown. Yeah. So they can't be separated until the harvest.
Right.
And you can't tell the difference beforehand either. So, I mean, if people don't understand what a tare is, that might not have quite the same meaning. But, it's when you picture that within the kingdom, there's individuals or, there's people within the kingdom that you can't tell that from the outside, just looking that, hey, they don't belong here. So you can't go remove them.
Right.
But at harvest time, then it's exposed,
right.
And then you can see it. I mean, I think that parable really shows that picture.
Right. The tare is not a thistle or a weed.
Right. Yeah.
It's something looks
obvious.
Like.
Right. And that would be, something, to add to that, if it was just a real obvious weed or, patch of weeds, like that would be somebody that, not just a worldly, sinful person. It's just, the pagans, it's easy to isolate that. You can see that. And stuff, and with a tare, it's just not something you can just go remove them. Even if you wanted to go out in the field and remove them, you'd have to, it'd be impossible to do it without damaging the good ones.
Right.
Okay. So they would be immersed believers, is what looks like them to you.
It could have, one time. It's those who are not committed. They're close to the temple, and that's that picture there that. The temple, and that's why he's called it the holy city. I don't think he's referencing physical Jerusalem as being holy here, because we all understand that it's not. But he's referencing that because it's so close to the temple, and it was referred to as the holy city. It's referred to as the beloved city and whatnot. He's not referring to the church here. He's referring to physical Jerusalem that was so close to the physical temple, but it was still separate from it. And using that spiritual picture there is that you have your those who are committed and the physical temple is set apart, but the court in the city is treaded underfoot. And we'll get to the 42 months next time. We're not going to do it today, but it's tread underfoot. And we get into more of that. We're going to see more of that as well. But yes, it says, tread underfoot. It was given to the nations, and they will tread underfoot the holy city for 42 months. So the nations you could refer to as pagans, but those who were part of the church, who were kind of close to it, but really not, are going to be lumped in with the nations, you know, and receive the destruction the nations are going to receive too. So that's where the line would be, yeah.
But everybody would be a candidate for hope. Yeah, I mean, right. Terror, basically.
Yeah. 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 If you're not faithful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, we will stop there then this week and pick up again next week.